This is Justin Zick from Zephaniah, and you're listening to Focus on Metal.
Hey, Metalheads, Scott.
I'm Richie.
Welcoming you to another episode of that, which we call Focus on Metal. Good show together for you this week. Got a great band called Zephaniah, another one of these bands you guys should probably know about. One of these bands that goes out there and is doing it by themselves. But, you know, I think part of that's part of the thing about podcasting, right, is promoting bands and getting the word out on bands and being part of the promotion end of things. You know what
Definitely.
I mean? I think that's a pretty cool thing that we do. You had mentioned something to me, and I think there's almost a little thing that to me, in my spine, it's like something totally opposite of that. And that's this whole idea of the, where, you know, here we are, we're just two fan schmoes doing this. The same thing with, you know, guys like Rockin' Snowy and John Caddick and Victor and all those, they were just, you know, even all the guys that do all the like podcast and all that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's guys have been doing this for a long time. We're as kind of equally underground as a lot of these bands that we're trying to promote. It's a whole, you know, thing working together. But this thing now with, and it started with a lot of comedy podcasts, but now it seems to have moved heavily into music. And this is the celebrity podcast.
Yeah, well, you're saying the comedy ones. Of course, the biggest one is the Adam Carolla one.
That's definitely one that gets a lot of exposure, but also even WTF with Marc Maron.
Yeah.
It's another one that's, I mean, he's not, you know, that big name as Adam Carolla had gotten himself to be, but definitely, I mean, there's a lot of those type of high profile ones that are in that area. And of course, the one that really, it drives me crazy, and I think I've mentioned this on another podcast, and don't get me wrong, I like this guy. He knows his stuff and all that. But the fact that Eddie Trunk does a podcast drives me nuts. He's got the corner market on the television market, at least in the U.S. Now, obviously, they don't play that in Europe and all that. I get that. He probably has the number one metal radio show around as well. And it's like, why are you in podcast too? Why can't you leave that podcast to the little guys?
Yeah, but do you not think Eddie is entitled to do anything he wants at this stage?
Oh, I mean, he is entitled to do whatever. I mean, he knows what he's talking about, and he's definitely not a talking head that is just like associated with metal and goes and doesn't really know what he's. I mean, he is a super fan. He knows what he's talking about and all that. And I mean, he can do whatever he wants. I just feel from, you know, having worked this up for so long of like, geez, well, podcasting, you know, this new media is like, it's our little niche. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but let's look at this two ways. He has access is the first way I'd look at it. He's friends with a lot of these guys. He's going to have a lot higher profile, I guess, than we'll have. But now, I'll try and stick my head up in the air every now and again. And I'll get Joe Perry.
Yeah.
Right. He'll tweet out that he's doing he's introducing Joe Perry at his book signing and all that. He's friends of these guys.
Sure.
He has, if you look at all the guys he's had on in his first 20 odd podcasts, he's got some high profile names. He had the three guys out of Judas Priest on.
Yeah.
Okay. We didn't get any, right? Uh-huh. We would have loved him to have talked to any of them, right? But we didn't, and he got to treat them on his podcast.
Right.
He'll get the guests. But on the other hand, 99% of the bands that we promote, he won't touch. Like some of the underground metal bands that we do.
Right.
Let's talk about one band last year I thought released one of the biggest albums. Best albums of last year was Primal Fear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have you heard him talk about him ever?
No.
Never.
No.
Right. He's going to have the same guests on his podcast as on his radio show as on that metal show.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and there's all these bands that are out there and he won't go near them.
Right.
Because he loves his metal, but he does that for a living. and he has to get ratings. We right. do it because we love it. We're not going to make money out of this at all.
No, but I think we strike a nice balance of having some really bigger guests that we get on, but then also supporting all the other guys that are slogging it out
yeah.
and doing it, right? And I would think that, you know, knowing like Eddie's history of starting out a little tiny radio station, you know, just working his way up, and also seeing, you know, bands like, you know, Anthrax right through their whole career, going from nothing, slogging it out, working their asses off and all that, that there would be something there that would say, you know what, I still need to do what I used to do right at the very beginning and promote these bands that nobody gave a crap about.
Yeah.
And this is like his chance to give back, right? I mean, what a big coup for him to be able to have a lot of these baby bands that we have on this show that want any kind of recognition, to have someone like Eddie Trunk talk about them, have them on the show, play one of their tracks. I mean, there should be a balance there somewhere. He's got a great forum. Why not use that? You know, if you're going to do it, use it the best way you can for this music that you love.
Well, I think the only new bands he promotes are with people who are in other bands.
Correct.
Or they're old classic bands that are still out there.
Right.
You see, okay, you went there with Eddie Trunk. I'm going to go there with him now, right? His top 10 are all his mates.
Uh-huh.
Right? He has Glenn Hughes. Yeah. He has Accept. Now, all these albums are good. Don't get me wrong. Best albums of the year. And he's entitled to his opinion. He's Ace Frehley. He has Judas Priest. You know my opinion on the Priest album. Production's crap. Some of the songs aren't great, but he thinks it's great. And, you know, you look at the top 10, all his mates are in it.
Yeah.
Right. He wouldn't go, no Primal Fear. He is, you know, he's no underground band. He is King, who I love. Yeah. Right. But they're the only one. And then it's all his friends.
Right.
And I get it. That's the business he's in. He wants these guys to come back on the show. He's a big name.
Yeah.
And he's earned it. I'm not taking anything away from the guy. We had him on promoting his book.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he was great.
No, he was great to talk to.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He was great to talk yeah. to. He is a fan.
Yeah.
But the difference is that's his living. He has to kind of toe the line there. I'm sure now he's going to come out with a book in years to come, and it'll probably blow the lid off the music industry. I'm sure there's been times where he's been pulling his hair out. Right. And, but that's something in the future. So he has to kind of smile, get on with it,
yeah.
take what he's given. He's doing that metal show. I'm sure half that show he'd rather change the format, and he can't do it. But he has to kind of toe the line there and advertising and stuff.
But on the podcast, I mean, that's his, right? I mean, he should be able to do whatever the hell he wants on it.
He can't, because that's sponsored. He talks for 10 minutes and then tries to sell you a fucking lawnmower in Walmart or somewhere like that. And then, my Amazon links and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I remember, I'm a big classic metal show guy.
Yeah.
Right? I love the show. I think it's great. They had Mark Striggle on it.
Uh-huh.
And they asked Mark Striggle about donations, right? Uh-huh. And even Mark said he wasn't like Eddie Trunk, that it's not 10 minutes of commercials in the middle of his podcast. And I agreed with Mark.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this thing with keep the podcast free.
Mm.
And I'm like, how much does it cost to do a podcast? Okay. I don't know, we'll talk about that off air. But, you know, is it thousands? Is it?
No, it's not.
Yeah, you know, if you love...
Well, it depends too, right? If you're hiring people to work, you know, if I had to go out and hire a webmaster or something like, you know, things like that, or you have other people that are tweeting for you and doing Facebook, you know, I mean, there's definitely shows out there that have other people that are doing everything that you and I are doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah, those people, they want some scratch somewhere. So sometimes they can get up there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I suppose. But the other thing that he talks a lot about, he goes back into the 80s a lot. He'll get all these guys on that have new albums out. And he'll spend, he'll have Carmine on, right? And he'll talk about Rated X, and then it's 50 minutes of Blue Murder, you know, because he's a big thing about Blue Murder. He'll have Jakey Lee on. he'll talk a bit about Red Dragon Cartel, and then half an hour about not writing Bark at the Moon, or not getting credit for writing Bark at the Moon. You know,
credit,
that? Yeah, that sort of thing. And then he'll have Jake on his radio show, same thing. And then he'll have him on That Metal Show, same thing. It's all these interviews are similar.
Mm-hmm.
He has gone a little bit off the reservation with the podcast and got Bob Rock on, which I was hoping he'd go down that line on it, because I you know, my feeling about getting the producers on, we've had a lot of them on.
Yeah, we have.
They're great to talk to, right? He just mentioned recently that he got great feedback about talking to Bob Rock.
Yeah.
Now, he's been burying his head in the sand if he doesn't think getting the producers on his podcast isn't a good idea.
Right.
Because they're great.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They're great to get. And because he has the same guys on all form. You see, he's offered all the guys.
Yeah.
So it's like, will you, I guarantee you now, sometimes on the Friday night, he'll have him on his New York show,
mm-hmm.
right? And then that Saturday, he'll call him and he'll have him on. He's put the same guys on his podcast, same questions. And then on the, you know, they might be in New York for That Metal Show a month later, and they'll ask him, they'll have a 10-minute interview with an abbreviated version of all the questions he's asked already.
Yeah.
You know, but we'll get the guys on, we'll get 20 minutes here or there. We kind of go a little bit off the reservation in trying to get people on. I'll try and get people on that aren't promoting stuff and all that. No way will Eddie Trunk do that.
Yeah.
He'll always have guys on that are promoting albums.
Yeah.
Always. And his podcast isn't bad. It's okay. But it's not groundbreaking. It's not very different to what he does on his terrestrial radio show. And some of the interviews that he has on his podcast are from a Sirius XM show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I don't know how he gets the rights to broadcast them on that.
It just, you know, I think ultimately what it is, right, is that, I mean, this part of new media is still relatively small, you know, and because of how you listen to this, there's always a limited listening window everybody has every week for listening to stuff like this. And when you have, you know, and it's not just pick on Eddie, it's just kind of the celebrity podcast.
Jamie Jasta, Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe you got this new metal fan, and now they're picking and choosing. I only have X amount of time to listen to a podcast this week. How many of these people that are just getting into this are going to then go and say, well, gee, I'm going to go listen to that because I know that guy, and listening to it really solely just for that, you know, as opposed to, you know, years ago when I started listening to metal podcasts, and you'd kind of just look up the genre and you'd see what was out there and you'd see the description and you'd say, oh, it looks like they're liking the same kind of stuff that I do. Okay, so, you know, yeah, that's all cookie vocal. I'm not going there or whatever. You'd pick some, you'd listen, and you'd come out with a few favorites that you'd go, well, I really like this show and listen to that. And it was really on the merit of the show capturing you, not the personality, you know, the celebrity personality capturing you to listen to the show.
Just because the guy has a name doesn't mean he's a good interviewer. He could be shit.
Yeah.
You know, like a guy that fronts a band doesn't mean he can sit down in front of another musician and actually have a decent conversation with the guy. You got to pick and choose these things, you know, like we're picking on Eddie a bit much because he's the high profile guy, but there are a lot of people at it now. I don't really have a problem with it, though, because I think we do a pretty decent job. If people like us, great. If they don't like us, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, we do what we do. We enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
We really enjoy doing it.
Oh, yeah.
And if people enjoy that, what we do, brilliant. Love it.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not going to stop doing it because Eddie Trunk is got such and such a guy on and we have the same guy on, and you know, it's like, oh, we might as well stop and not compete with him because he's Eddie Trunk or he's Jamie Jasta or anything like that.
Yeah.
I don't give a crap about these guys, really.
Yeah.
I listen to Eddie Trunk's podcast. I like it, right? Uh-huh. I won't listen to all of them, though.
Right.
I'll pick and choose as well. Like Jamie Jasta, I think I'll listen to. He had Derek Green on from Sepultura. I listened to that. It's okay. Another one I enjoy listening to, Dean Del Rey, the comedian.
Mm-hmm.
He has a podcast on. He has comedians on and he'll have musicians on. Like he'll have Richie Kotzen on. He'll have Jimmy Danda from the Bullet Boys he'd on a while ago. Like he'll have the odd guy on that you wouldn't get on the normal.
Right.
The normal shows, which is what we tend to do. We'll we'll dabble here, and then, you know, we'll get a career guy on, we'll get a producer on, we'll do, like, we're doing the project on Little Mountain Sound. Eddie Trunk will never do anything like that.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah.
And we're doing it.
Right.
So, you know, that's, there is a market out there for what we do. Mm-hmm. Now, is Eddie Trunk affecting us? Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't care. I really don't care. We have listeners who enjoy what we do.
Yeah.
And that's great. That's just the bottom line for me. I love doing what I'm doing, and people enjoy it. Brilliant. If they don't, go listen to Eddie Trunk.
Yes, yeah. I mean, we're going to continue doing what we're doing. Yeah, absolutely. So, I don't know. Let's roll a track of the week, and then we can get into my talk with the great band Zephaniah. Massacre Records continues to put out some incredible stuff over the last few months, and I have another great one for you this week. Talking about a great band out of Germany, just put out their fourth album. I'm talking, of course, about Messiah's Kiss, and they put out their fourth one. It's called Get Your Bulls Out. And yes, if you're thinking to yourself, damn, I haven't heard from Messiah's Kiss in a long time, you would be correct. They were on a roll for a while. They had the 2002 release, Prayer for the Dying, kind of more of a Nuwavo type of album, and then they kicked it out in 2004 with that big anthemic album called Metal. Then they get into more of the double bass work in their 2007 release Dragonheart, and then nothing. And now the band has come out with their brand new one, Get Your Bulls Out. And of course, what they have said is the timeout is terminated. Messiah's Kiss are back. And I'll tell you, this band's had just a cool history. I mean, after their first album, they went out supporting Doro. And, you know, right from there, they just kept on having these great releases, great appearances. You know, everything was going pretty kick-ass for these guys. And apparently some health issues in the band just kind of kicked their ass and knocked them off the metal scene for quite a while now. But I have to say, these guys are definitely back with a vengeance. They got a release out in a couple of versions, including a CD and a limited edition digipack that's got a couple bonus tracks on there as well. Great thing. A little bit heavy on the songs, 14 tracks on this one, with the digipack brings it up to 16 tracks. So if you're looking for that 10 to 12 track deal, traditional album, this one's a little bit longer than that. But I will tell you, all the songs on here, they are just kick-ass, great stuff. I think you're going to love these guys if you haven't listened to them before. They've got a really cool, hooky sound, and I don't know, it's kind of hard to describe. So I figured the best thing to do, maybe play you a track and let you experience some Messiah's Kiss. I went all through this one back and forth. What am I going to play? And I have to admit, I was kind of bummed because there is no track on here called Get Your Bulls Out. And I thought, if they had a track called that, I was going to play it, but they don't. Finally, I settled on a track called Buried Alive. And it's kind of odd because even though, you know, they don't have a track called Get Your Bulls Out, this makes the bull connection because this one kind of reminds me of the Last Accept album, which of course had a bull on the cover. All right, I'm stretching the connections, I know. But anyways, listen to this one. And to me anyways, it's got this sound. It really has that cool current Accept kind of sound, but maybe if Jeff Pilson slipped in the back as well and did some of his Pilson rock kind of arrangement of the whole thing. I don't know. That's how it sounds on my addle brain. Why don't we let it see how it sounds to you guys out there? Let's play a little bit of Messiah's Kiss. So from the brand new one on Massacre Records called Get Your Bulls Out, this is Buried Alive. There you go, your track of the week from Messiah's Kiss. Guys, are back in action. Great album. Urge you to, as always, go out and get that one. If you want to hook up with them online, you can get with them at facebook.com/Messiah's Kiss or also at their website, messiahskiss.com. So with that, why don't we dive into our main attraction this week? That was that I got a nice talk with Justin Zick from Fort Wayne, Indiana's own Zephaniah. It's another one of these great bands you guys should know about. And hey, you know, just like Messiah's Kiss, these guys reform back in action again. Didn't even think of that when I was putting that track of the week together. But I guess we do have the comeback connection there. And of course, for you guys that are out in that area, these guys are always playing out. They just recently played a cool gig with our friends in Lords of the Trident. And, you know, check their Facebook page. Look at what they're doing for tours. They like touring. It's one of the things they do. Definitely play a lot of dates. Great band to see live. So, like I said, facebook.com/Zephaniah Band and check out all the stuff they got going on. And, of course, as per usual, we will be featuring some Zephaniah tracks all during the interview. Just so you know, these tracks come off of the last Zephaniah release. That is the 2008 release, Stories from the Book of Heavy Metal. And of course, Justin and I were talking about the fact that they're in the studio preparing their brand new release, Reforged. Justin and I talk about that one, and that one is due out this year. And of course, we will let you know when that happens. But for now, the only tracks we have are their ones from their 2008 release. So we're rolling with it. And I should mention that those tracks are also all available on several of the free compilations that Online Metal Promotions has been putting out over the last year and continue to do this year as well. Get links for those by searching for them at focusonmetal.blogspot.com. Some great compilations. Killer artists are featured on those compilations, so don't miss the opportunity to grab those. So enough of my garbage. Let's dive right in with my guest this week, Justin Zick from Zephaniah. Hey, metalheads, kick back, relax, raise the horns, and stay tuned for another original Focus on Metal, Metal Side Chat, with your host, Scott Thompson. All right, metalheads, once again, I'm able to bring you another great metal band. Band's called Zephaniah. You may have known them from a few years back, and I'm happy to report that Zephaniah have reformed. They're back in the game again, and I have on the line with me tonight, Justin Zick. How we doing?
I'm doing all right, man. How about yourself, Scott?
I'm doing good, and I know you guys have had a pretty busy fall. I know you played at least one date with Raven, right?
Yeah, we played. We actually did a tour beginning of November around the East Coast, and came back with our very last date was with Raven in Columbus, so that was a good time with Night Demon too.
Yeah.
Definitely a band you want to, if you're into the NWO BHM stuff, you're definitely gonna love Night Demon.
Yeah. I was talking to John Gallagher a few weeks ago, and I was like, John, no Boston date, and he's like, oh yeah, just the way the dates came in, it never came together for a Boston date. But it's good to see you guys got out and got to play on that tour. So I'm sure that gave you some nice exposure as well.
Yes, it definitely did, and Raven still got it, man, so I don't think they ever lost it.
Oh, no, I don't. And, of course, you know, the other cool thing is that you guys are back in the studio, right?
Yeah, actually, right after this, I'm headed into the studio. We're going to cut a couple vocal tracks out this evening, and should be a good time there. But basically, we just had some setbacks with engineers on and off, like, commit to it, and then they can't commit in the end, and so we've been searching around, and I think we finally found what we need to get done. And, you know, we're still tracking. I have a studio that we can still track, but mixing and mastering, we're still searching around for, lost a couple producers on the way, but hopefully we'll get this out by next year for sure.
All right, just small little note here. I did this interview with Justin back about the middle of December, so when he talks about next year, he's talking about this year.
Yeah, and I think it was a really cool calling it Reforged as well, just with the whole story and coming back and stuff. I thought that was a great idea, calling it Reforged.
Yeah, I think we were like, how can we come back with a second album when after we broke up? And someone said Reforged, and I'm like, hey, that's perfect. And we ended up writing a song. Well, we had a song written, but we didn't know what to write it about. We wanted to write about us getting back together somehow, but not so cheesy, like, yeah, we're back together, yeah, you know. And So we thought Reforged would be good. We could make it into our whole kind of battle fantasy thing we're into.
Yeah, that seems to be a you know, kind of your unique niche, right? Is doing kind of those either historical things or fantasy battle type of stuff.
Basically, we like battle, and we just like anything. Like this particular album is definitely gonna have songs about battle, songs about maybe a couple history things. We did something different this time. We wrote a 3-song trilogy, but it's we call it our Thrash trilogy, and it's basically about the Mad Max movies. Like, we wrote this before we even knew that new Mad Max movie was coming out next year. We're like, oh man, so now I have to write a 4th one for the album after just to make it complete. But it's actually probably our 3 favorite songs right now that we've recorded in the studio, because they're so fun and fast and they're catchy.
Yeah.
And it was just exciting to write something that, because we're all super nerds. We love, like, you know, Evil Dead movies, and, you know, our singer loves, like, the Avengers and stuff like that. And this is like a happy medium where, like, oh, we all agreed we had to write about Mad Max.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So, I mean, do you guys ever get compared at all to Iced Earth and what they do? Or is it kind of a comparison that gets old on you after a while?
I think Iced Earth was just basically related to us because we're from Indiana.
Hmm.
And John Schaefer's from Indiana. He's from Fort Wayne originally. And I think that's where we got like, oh, you know, because we're very riffy. And I think that's kind of like our Indiana metal thing, just have like these catchy riffs. I don't know, it's more of a Midwest thing, but I just know in Indiana, any band that kind of gets out, it's all about the catchy riffs.
Hmm.
And then kind of going there. And I don't think we've been really compared to them. We've been more compared to like Dragon Force.
Okay.
And stuff like that. But because we're in that power metal scene, I would say Iced Earth would have been one that we've been compared to before, but it's probably just because of the riffs. But I do like Iced Earth. I've seen them a couple times live and got to meet John Schaefer. So, and he's a super nice guy.
Yeah. You're right about the whole Midwest riffy thing, though. I mean, even when you go back to, you know, even regular rock with bands like Cheap Trick and stuff, too, it's true that, you know, you compare them to a lot of the other bands that came out around the same time as them, and they definitely did bring a lot of that kind of memorable hooks and riffs into songs that just stick in your brain, and you guys kind of have that same thing going.
Yeah, and it's, and I think it is an Indiana thing. Like, we bring, like, we're used to bringing hooks and, like, riffy hooks, you know. It's, I think one of the guitar players from Warrant was from Indiana, and he went out to make these really, you know, hooky, catchy Warrant songs with these guys. And then there's a band called Lauren Guard that's around, and they, yeah, all their music's full of hooks. But there are a lot of the bands we play around with that are just all full of hooks. But then, you know, there's always the outliers that completely, you know, but I agree, there's more of a, in this Midwest area, there's more of a, like, we like to make, like, these catchy riffs. That's, like, our main thing that happens, but I can't say. I've looked at statistics and looked it up. You know, I'm just on a whim, you know, just this is how my, from all the music I've heard around me, this is basically what I've caught on to.
Yeah.
So if I was in a completely different scene, I could say something completely different. But from what I've heard, and I'm surrounded, I go to local shows, I work at a record shop on here, so I get to hear all these bands all the time coming in.
Yeah.
So constant music for me.
flying. Our lives are lost. Defend the ship.
I had talked a few months back to another band from the Midwest, and you know, we talked a lot about this whole thing too of being a little bit sonically different, and we came up with the thing we were thinking that maybe part of it too is that where you are in the country, that you're never on that bleeding edge of like the latest trending kind of metal or whatever else, but that you're like one generation back. You don't get caught up in like flavor of the day, and then you also get really good feedback crowds as well. So you have these people that groove on that kind of stuff, so you want to do more of it, and you're just not, you know, you're not chasing that latest trend as well.
Right. There is definitely, I think, in around the scene area, there's more of a, it's just like we always get things like a year late because, oh, the West Coast got something new, and then it travels this way. East Coast got something new, and it travels this way. So we're usually the last to get the new trend, but, and I watch them all come through, and I watch these bands new trend. And I think what stood out with us is that since we're so like, just like open to other music, and we've sought out new music through thanks to the internet and things like that, we've sought out this old style of music that we wanted to hear, that we're like a small group, and we decided to just make something that sound like us individually, taking all the things that we liked and influenced us, put it. So we've always kind of stood out in our own scene here as being like a band that always sounds different and individually against anyone. Like when you go see Zephaniah, it's like, oh, that's that band that does this and that. You know, it's never like, oh, that's that band that sounds like that band, you know? So we've kind of got that, and I think it's mostly because of our stage show as well.
Yeah. I was very curious about how you guys, you know, ended up coming back together because, I mean, you know, Stories from the Book of Heavy Metal, that was what, 2010 that came out?
Came out 2008.
Okay, yeah, all right. And then, you know, for the most part, people kind of were like, you know, assuming you guys were all done and stuff. And so it's been quite a while. So how did it, you know, come about? Did you guys decided to get back together and get back out there?
Well, what happened was we had a couple promoters talking to us, or at least talking to me, like, hey, you know, you should get Seth and I back together. You know, students won a couple reunion shows for this festival here. And, you know, since we became more of a regional following than we did kind of international, so we definitely, you know, it's definitely a promoter. So I think, you know, I'll look into it. So I was actually going to get a reunion with all original members and just do a couple shows and call it a day, have a good time, enjoy some of the old stuff we did. But what happened was, one of the members that, you know, was the original, it's like the reason we all kind of broke up was around this guy, this kind of more of a liability type guy. And I don't want to call him out, but it's just like we all just kind of walked away, and we had so many changes that we just couldn't work with him. We're like, okay, we'll do a couple shows, everyone will be happy. But one guy would never work with him again. And then he proved himself again that he had not changed. Mm-hmm. So what happened was, and I had a couple bands I was in, and one of the bands I wanted to, you know, kind of succeed where Zeph and I didn't, kind of stopped me at a point, said, hey, we just kind of want to stay local. We don't want to do any of this touring thing you're talking about. I'm like, oh no, you know, you know. So, you know, I talked to a couple of the guys that still wanted to do it more than just keep going on with it. And they're like, how about we just keep going on, and we'll grab two people that we've loved working with ever since they broke up, and we'll just add them to the band, and we'll just continue on, and we'll write an album, take some of these old songs and write new material with the rest of the guys. And that's basically what happened. We decided right at that point that we would basically just get back together and play.
Cool.
And then that right there is because of fans and promoters saying, hey, get back together, play our festival.
Yeah.
And just circumstances, it just kind of fell into our lap and it felt right. And ever since, every show we've gotten played back, it's was like the old days. Like, people see us for the first time, like, holy crap, I've never heard of you. Or, like, wow, you guys are better than you ever have, which is good. You know, if we still were as good as we were when I was, you know, 18, yeah, I'd definitely be disappointed.
Yeah, that's awesome, too. And, yeah, I know you're right. I mean, I've been in bands where there's just been that one guy, and it gets so bad around that one person that you just kind of go, all right, I think we're done. And then eventually you end up with picking up a few of those people from that band that were, you know, you could work with and form something else. But yeah, it doesn't take much to just have that one person that just really just screws it up for everybody.
Yeah. It's like kind of a bad manager at work or something, you know. It's just like, we're all having a great time. We're all making music and we're all trying to make this like a regular or full-time job here. And when one guy won't let us excel or succeed to our next point, it kind of just, it's a letdown. It's like, why am I wasting my time doing this? Why am I even trying?
Yeah, yeah.
Why am I driving 3 hours away to play a show if this guy is going to, not going to be 100% with us, you know? It was very tough. But we all made a decision. We're just like, let's just do it the way a band should work. You know, let's not stick to one member. This is a brand name.
Yeah.
And, you know, if one of us can't do the show, we'll get a fill-in to play that show, but we'll still be that group. And, you know, as long as everyone's happy and we're all on the same page like that, you know, it's not a problem. If they all want to go on a tour and I can't do it, they're allowed to do that. You know, I'll just get a fill-in for myself.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I mean, because definitely nowadays it's tough. Sometimes you just can't break out and do that. So yeah, it's nice.
Yeah. And it's very difficult. It's just me and the singer can do pretty much any kind of touring with our, we have really flexible jobs that'll let us come back no matter what. But, you know, a couple of the other members don't necessarily, our bass player has a kid and another one coming on the way. So it's, he's limited, but he at least has people he knows. He's tapped out all this stuff. He's like, you know, I'm still going to be a part of this and be a writing force in it. It's just, you know, when it comes to the touring and that work, you know, I understand I won't get paid for that, but the other guy will. And, you know, we look at it like that. And if eventually when we get to a point, if we're starting a heavy touring and, you know, making a decent amount of money doing it, you know, we'll be able to make those type of sacrifices where we don't need to. They don't need to have a full-time job while they can tour. They can get a part-time and do that on top. But when you're back in the beginning stages, you know, it's kind of tough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 definitely. But, it is really nice that you guys kind of have this kind of even ground without any kind of egos and stuff, and everyone has that understanding and no, you know, no bad feelings, and everyone understands you're doing what you need to do to make it happen. So, there's not a lot of bands out there that I think that can really say that. So, to hear you guys are doing it, that's just really good.
Yeah, I agree. It's a tough decision, but if you lay it all out on the table and you don't let anything, we're not here to sit and make everyone happy. We're not here to, my feelings won't get hurt.
Yeah.
Some guy can't go on the road. My feelings will not get hurt if I have a guy say, hey, Justin, I don't like this song because I don't think it's going to work for our show. I don't think it's going to work for this. I'd rather, okay, how can we make it work? Let's work. Let's redo it. Let's fix it so it works for us as a group without, you know, stroking one of our egos, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's tough for some people to do that, but sometimes when you do that, you end up making an even better song.
Yeah,
you end up having an even better relaxing tour. And, you know, and if we take like a guy on the road that we don't like and then we come together like, hey, I don't like touring with that guy, we just won't use that fill-in anymore. But
right.
So far from the people I've got to work with, you know, I've been in so many bands since Ethnaya and toured around. We have a lot of options as long as they aren't touring with someone else. So,
yeah, no, that is good. And you're right. You know, I can remember for a good chunk of time in the early 80s. I mean, I was definitely that dickhead in the band that was like, nope, it's my song. We're not changing it. It has to be my way and all that. And, you know, you do a few albums and things and you start to mellow out and, you know, get smart about it. So, you know, I think some of it comes along with, you know, with age and doing it long enough as well to realize you know, the big picture. So that is, you know, that is definitely cool.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. We all have egos when we start. Like, this is Mars, so and so should be done. But yeah, we do grow.
Yeah.
Because if you were still doing that from the 80s, Scott, you'd be like, hey, Scott, probably shouldn't be doing that still.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's true. And I've even had people that have come back and been like, yeah, man, you were a jerk to work with before, but you're cool now. I don't know what changed, but. So, you know, as far as the album, I know, like you said, you haven't trying to get the producers and all things nailed down, but do you have kind of a rough timeline when you think you're going to be pushing that out? You're going to be like maybe mid 2015 or something?
Probably before that. We're actually very far in the part. I think right now we just have a couple of, I think maybe like 3 or 4 more songs for vocals to track on. Mm. Bass still has to track a couple songs. Our backer, like, we put in some sound effects, some extra like layered keys and some cool stuff that needs to go on like 3 or 4 songs. And then at that point, we're kind of doing like a minor mix on the way. So when we do find someone to mix, they don't have to do any editing. They just have to come up and go, okay, I need this to sound like this, like this, like this. They don't have to actually go in like, this is off, so this needs to be here. So we're actually, since Ian has his own studio, our bass player, he's tracking his own bass, and he's helping get drums mixed to a point where when we send it to our mixing guy, he's going to look at it and go, okay, all I have to do is tweak here. Okay, this needs raised here. This needs a little here. We're going to get a mix to a point that are to the best of our abilities. I'm tracking at the studio, Viking tracking their new album right now, and getting all the guitars and vocals done. And it's sounding really good, but I can definitely know, I know the limitation of my abilities. I can track the guitars, but I can't go in there and go, I can make this sound huge and big without, you know, getting some more stuff like that. So as long as we're tracking and continuing this, we found a couple people that were interested. Some were a little bit too above our budget. Some were just within range, and we're still kind of negotiating on that point. But I'm hoping like the beginning of next year, we're going to actually have a solid timeline date. Like, okay, this will be done here, and then we're going to be able to release it with this particular label that we want to, you know, and we're still shopping for labels at the same time, because I think we spend a lot of time in the studio and we're kind of a little bit over budget there. So we're definitely looking for some distribution to help us out. If anyone's interested, you know, call me.
Sharpened by the grinding wheel, shining with crimson light, is the best.
go. It ends up being all about the distro, right? I mean, because nowadays a label, I mean, it doesn't really get you much, but except distro. So, you know, as long as you get that, you're pretty good.
Yeah, and it depends on the label. I've seen some labels that actually, you know, they put a lot on your tab, they put a lot of promotion for what you're doing, and they throw you on tours and stuff. That's a lot of the extra work that I wouldn't have to do. But I agree, you've got to find a good distribution label to get your things to the right people, the ones that people look at, the ones that people want to sell, the same market that I want to attract. And that's another thing that's really tough, because it's like you want to be able to, without losing a lot of your own rights at the same time.
Right.
But the distro deal, I agree, you just basically like, you make this much, I make this much, and we're all happy.
Right. And then at least that way there, when you're out touring and stuff, you know, you don't have somebody who's potentially got their fingers on every dime you're making as well, which is always, you know, you talk to some of these other bands that are on tour, that maybe they get signed, but I mean, the deal they get, they're almost touring for nothing. And it's kind of sucky in the end when they realize, gee, all we really needed to do was kind of a really limited deal and just get our stuff out there. So it sounds like you guys are pretty keyed in on the whole business end of it, which is great.
It is a wild west out there, and it's really tough to kind of, you know, we're trying. I'm not going to make a bad decision here and there, but so far we've made some good decisions. So far we've made some bad decisions, but at least none of the bad decisions have been like too much of a financial blow to us, or at least, the people that do want to make money with us are, as well as know that we need to make money as well, or else no one's making money.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you're right. It is tough out there, because people do, you know, they even ask me, well, geez, you do all this stuff and everything, and why do you still have to have another job? And it's like, there is no money in music. There just isn't. It's like, oh, really? Somehow there's other people that don't work in it that think that, oh, it's, you know, there's still tons of money out there for it. It's like, no, not really.
Yeah, and it's especially with heavy metal, you know. From what I've heard, I heard a story, I think just last year or the year before, Amon Amarth finally could quit their day jobs to be constantly just touring and making money off the band, where they could tour for 4 months out of the year and then sit back the rest of the year and go in the studio without you know, going in debt. So,
yeah.
And even when you get to a point, you know, you never know if, like, I mean, if you take a look at some of these bands from the 80s that, you know, were so big and they just went, and then, like, you know, 90s came out and all grunge stuff, and some of these bands just kind of died away, and, you know, they had to get second jobs, or they had to start playing in cover bands or whatever they needed to do to make some extra cash, you know, and it's not one of those businesses. Once you're making money forever. You've got to constantly dish out like good material, and material that your fans are going to like, as well as material that people you're working with are going to like. And it's a tough business, but if you know, if you can manage to get like a decent, you know, 20 to 30,000 a year doing playing music, you know, you're doing fine. But it's tough at the same time. You know, it's not like I can go play a show like this weekend and make, you know, $500 from one show. You know, it's not that simple.
Right.
Yeah. With all the rehearsals and the extra time of practicing and being in the studio right now, you know, if I had someone else doing that, but that's more money to have to pay someone else to kind of track them when I know I could do it myself.
Yeah, that's definitely true. It does all add up. So, of course, speaking of adding up, let's talk a little bit about gear here. See, whenever I have a guitar player on the show, I get to talk about gear. So the other night I had a singer on, and I asked him about what gear was the people were playing, and he was just like, I'm just the singer. I have no idea. Yeah. So what are you playing these days?
Well, I'm actually playing a, let's start with my amplifier. I have an Egnator IE4.
Nice.
It's an early 90s, like I think 1993 preamp. I'm really into late 80s and early 90s preamp power amps, because there's the thickest, most uncompressed sound without blazing feedback and not enough gain. It's just like, boom, I can push these preamps and I can push these power amps with that. But this IE4 is like the godsend. Unfortunately, if I break a part on it, it's going to be like $200 a part, so it sucks. But I haven't broken a part yet, so thank God. But my power amp is an old Rocktron. It's an old Egnator Rocktron. These are all like when Egnator was working out of Michigan before they sold to Career, where they sold to. I have that. I have a, let's see, the guitar I use mostly for Zeph. So he's an old Ibanez Gem DB7. I've been using it for probably about 10 years now.
Nice.
Like it's, that's my go-to guitar. My backup is an old 87 Ibanez. I really like gear from 87 to 93.
Yeah.
Like, it's some of my favorite gear to play. I don't know why. It's because it's been worn in. The guitar's been worn in and used, and necks are thin.
Well, that's a thing, too, right? I mean, you've got those original Wizard necks, and they, you know, as time went on, they changed kind of the dimensions of those Wizard necks. But if yours are old enough, then you get the old original style Wizard neck. So that's, yeah, that's a whole different kind of neck. And I know a lot of people really like those.
Yeah, I absolutely love those. And it's like the way they had it is just, it's like the pickups were strong. They're aggressive. They're not compressed. You know, a lot of people nowadays want those compressed EMGs. I thought I used to want those, but then I was like, this is not enough. It's not piercing me enough. And I want those old, like the DiMarzios that I have in the Ibanez Gem. They just sing. And it's like, I have this very powerful guitar that doesn't, they're not extremely hot pickups, like blues pickups, but they're definitely mid-range. Like, they're light pickups, but they don't, you know, if I put my gain on, it's not going to pierce it. Like, oh, this is the most annoying, loud, you guys are way too loud kind of sound.
Sure.
I have three different cabinets, but the one I really come to, I have a Trace Elliott that has an X Pattern 80 Celestion 75s, and it's got that good crisp sound. I let a couple people so the guys from Night Demon use it when they played in Fort Wayne just this last week, and dude was like, "Dude, this is the most crisp sounding thing ever," and I was like, "Yeah, it's an 80 X with a 75." He's like, "Whoa." So, you know, we kind of nerded out and, you know, talked about guitars and then like, oh, guitar stuff. Blah, blah. So it was great.
Nice, nice. And it's neat to hear that, you know, that you're using the whole preamp power app thing too. Because I know for a while that was, you know, that was huge and it kind of died off. And, you know, my big thing, I have a nice, cool Jackson preamp that I use for a good chunk of time, but I could never get the cash together to get that nice Marshall power amp I wanted to go with it. So I used to always end up putting it through one channel of my Roland JC120, and it just, for some reason, that combination used to work out really good. So I got the nice clean power end, but the good crunchy front end off the preamp with the Jackson. So that always worked
That's
out
awesome.
Good. But I've always loved that combination too, of being able to kind of mix that stuff up.
Oh yeah, you don't get that though. The preamp power amps, when you see it on a head, are not as dynamic when you have a separate preamp with a separate power amp.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can push the power amp to death, and you can push the preamp to death. I like to push my preamps harder than my power amps, so I have more gain and more, you know, less compressed sound. The power amps are definitely my volume, and if I put too much, like, whoop, death. But, and I never push, we're never like the loud band that's way too loud. We definitely sit back like that. But yeah, I agree, man. The preamp power amp, if you're a heavy metal guy that likes kind of like the old 80s style sound and you don't want any of like these huge, you know, you can get the effects processors too.
Right.
I've still yet to find a good effects processor for myself. So it's completely all raw tube right now.
It's, yeah.
I have a pedal that shoots me to a louder volume when I'm doing solos, but it's raw power. It's just 100% tube and guitar. Yeah.
Another, we are dying.
Too, because when you get that setup, what's nice about it is you can dial in that nice tone on that preamp and then just use that power amp to, you know, to get that right stage volume, so you're not driving front of house guys crazy either, and you can still get your tone, where sometimes when it's all in one, you end up kind of sacrificing that perfect spot that you're used to on your amp just so you can make a, you know, a reasonable micable stage volume. It's always that game you play, but when you have that separate one, a lot of times it's a lot easier to just set up and be ready to go.
Oh, yeah, if you're going on stage and, like, you need to push your preamps more than your power amps, it's like it literally, like, I can get the sound I want at any volume, where if you're using a head, I used to run a Mesa single rectifier, and I would have to, I'd have to turn it up to at least this point, but it'd still be loud to get that sound I wanted. Anytime I went too low, it was just too,
yeah,
it wasn't crisp enough. It wasn't,
yeah, everything went flat, right?
Yeah, and it was, I agree, man, it's, if you're going to do that, it's like completely separate. If you're going to get a head like that, I wish they would completely separate it. Like, you have a whole preamp section and a whole power amp. Some do, but some of them don't.
Mm.
Well, you know, a lot of them don't, where it's completely separate. It's just kind of like, I feel like you're pushing more because you see the same network instead of a cord to a cord. I don't know. It baffles my mind thinking about it because I don't understand electronics, but the preamp, the power amp has always been the best sound I've got. I used to use a different preamp. I used some like Climax, like a West German amp. That still sounded good. It sounded good. And it's always sounded better. So the preamp, power amp has always sounded better to my ears. And
it's hard for me
to go back to a head, to just a single head.
Right.
I think it will for a while.
So the only pedal you're running right now really is a boost pedal?
I don't use any pedals. I use a pedal that hooks up to my preamp. It has four different channels.
Okay.
So I have a clean channel. I have kind of like a gritty classic rock channel. Then I have my rhythm channel and then my lead channel.
Okay. All right.
So I don't use anything past that.
I'm surprised. I mean, we're in like a pedal renaissance now. I've been hoarding pedals for the last couple months. Just like they keep like, oh, I got to get that and I got to get that. And I've gone from very limited pedals to just, I can't get enough pedals. So it's I don't know. It's just been a cool time to be a guitar player.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I've put so many cool pedals. It's just like, if I had it to go one pedal at a time, so I'm going to master one pedal. Like, what's the coolest thing I can get out of this pedal sound before I move on to the next one?
Yeah.
I'm a little bit OCD about it. Yeah. But, you know, and I try not to use pedals or anything until, like, you know, after, like, hey, this would sound cooler with a phaser or something. But, you know, I'm still raw tone. It's like, what is the old songs that really got to me? And it's completely all raw tone. It's just like how this note in the melody goes over this rhythm.
Yeah.
And I'm more excited about the theoretical part. Like, hey, playing this note over this note, it's going to sound really dark. Or mixing this melody, harmonizing this melody like this in the middle of here instead of harmonizing like this is going to make it sound really creepy. And I'm more about the melody and the dynamic changes in a song than the effects I can use.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm going to want to experiment because I'm a very experimental person. I really like to try new things, but I haven't had the opportunity to get a new pedal. I've always been about guitars and raw tone.
Yeah. Well, you might want to check out Pedal Genie. I don't know if you've ever heard of them before.
No, I haven't.
It's like the Netflix of pedals. So you basically, you pay like a membership fee. I think it's pretty small amount. And you can basically, you pick a pedal, they ship it to you. You can try it out for as long as you want and send it back and get another one. So you can just keep auditioning. You can audition pedals. Yeah. So it's a great way to Pedal Genie.
Oh my God. That's what I'm going to do. You got me a Pedal Genie.
Yeah. So check that out because that's, you know, a lot of times you read reviews and you're like, oh, this is, you know, freaking hammer of the gods. I got to get it. And then you get it and you're like, oh, this kind of sucks. Cause you never know how it's going to act with your amp and your pickups and, you know, if it's the right sound for you. But, you know, that's always a pretty cool thing. A lot of times they do like 2 months free and things like that as well. But yeah, they send it to you. They got return postage, the whole deal. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm checking that out. Pedal Genie.
Yep. .com.
Okay, pedalgenie.com. Yep. Awesome. I'm excited now.
So check that out.
Tell my other guitar player about that too. I'll enjoy that.
Yeah. They got some cool stuff. So it's something that's it's worth checking out if you know, and if you just want to try stuff out.
Yeah, cool. That's exactly what I
want
to do.
All right. So it sounds like you guys are definitely, you're heading for a busy year and got some great dates coming up. When the album's getting ready to come out, if you know, love to have you get in contact with us, let us know. We could have you come back on and we can let everybody know when it's out and where to get it and all that.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely do that, Scott. That sounds like a plan.
Awesome. So between now and then, for people online, where's the best place online to find out about what you guys are doing?
Well, our website is under construction, but it'll basically take you straight to our Facebook page. But it is Zephaniah, Zephaniah, band.com. That'll take you straight to our Facebook page. We're on Twitter with Zephaniah Band, at Zephaniah Band. And I think that's basically the two places we've locked on to yet. We were kind of, I think Twitter and Facebook is where we're at right now, the Reverb Nation, just to kind of get our show schedule up. But basically the best way to connect with us would be Twitter or Facebook.
Awesome. It's been great talking to you. Love talking gear. Love to talk to you about gear again. Yeah, maybe after you do some Pedal Genie experimentation, we can talk about that. But otherwise, you know, like I said, thanks for coming on. And, you know, you guys are welcome back anytime and definitely want to hook up again when the album's ready to come out.
I will definitely hook up again, Scott. So cool, man.
Later.
Bye-bye. Bye.
All right, big thanks to Justin Zick for coming on Focus on Metal, giving us all the scoop on what's going on with Zephaniah. Definitely looking forward to the new one, Reforged. And as Justin mentioned, you guys want to hook up with Zephaniah, best place to do it is facebook.com/Zephaniah Band. And as I mentioned, I did play a couple of Zephaniah tracks in there for you tonight, all of them off of their 2008 release, Stories from the Book of Heavy Metal. First one was Blackbeard's Revenge. Then I rolled Sword of the King, and I rounded it all up with their track Antietam. So before we go this week, I feel like just throwing out another one of those left field tracks, another one of those what the fuck heavy metal deep cuts. I know this is one of Jay's favorite bands, don't get played very often. The band I'm talking about is Wargasm. Release that I'm talking about is called Why Play Around, and I want to play a little Wargasm tonight off of there. And the track I got in store for you is Bullets and Blades.
All right, that will do it for another week here at Focus on Metal. We were just kind of laughing a little bit off mic. Apologize a little bit for the beginning of the show rant, but occasionally they do come out. I remember back way in the early days of the show, we used to have a segment called Pisses Me Off.
Yeah.
And actually, there were a bunch of them that I recorded that actually never even got aired. But anyways, hope you guys enjoyed all the tunes this week, and hope you guys really are digging Zephaniah. Great band, and another band that you guys should try to support if you can. So I think that'll do it for this week. Of course, remember to follow us at FocusOnMetal.net, FocusOnMetal.blogspot.com, as well as Twitter.com/FocusOnMetal. Any last rant or not? No rant words from you?
No, not really. Just thanks for listening.
One of these days you're going to surprise me. You're going to come out with this like amazing thing at the very end and blow my mind. So
I think you'd be waiting a while.
All right. So with that, have yourselves a good metal week. And until we talk to you again, remember,
focus on metal.
Everything else is insignificant.
Still here? It's over. Go home.
Hey, metalheads, just an exclusive bit of heads up for next week for our iTunes subscribers. If all goes according to plan, we will be featuring a chat we had with Michael Sweet all about the brand new Sweet and Lynch release, Only to Rise. It was a great chat we had with Michael, and if I get it all together, that is what is on the plan for next week. A great talk with Michael Sweet. Hear all about him and George Lynch and Brian Tichy and James Lomenzo putting together that great new release. And thanks again for subscribing to Focus on Metal on iTunes.